I see money in the liver bag.
Yes, yes.
I see a journey.
Go on, go on.
And I see...
Yes.
I see a tall, dark stranger approaching.
How many times must I tell you no fortune-telling on my buzz, please?
Funny folk, are you feeling funny?
Yes.
Are you feeling funny, ha ha?
Yes.
Or are you feeling funny, peculiar?
Yes.
Doch, he's got you at it again. You're all in Doddy's daft half hour.
And now here he comes, the magic man to declare open this bazaar. The man of whom it has often been said, but never proved.
The man who went in search of the missing link and came back with a pork sausage.
Aha, one of nature's little quirks.
Depending upon which size of quirk you're used to. Some people think he's a crackpot on a crank. I'm happy to say I'm one of them. The Dodd man out, Ken Dodd.
Now, you all think I'm eccentric, don't you?
Yes!
Just because I'm wearing a fireman's orange Wellingtons, a bus conductor's outfit, and a Princess Anne-type busby on my head.
No, it's that policeman's helmet we're all laughing at, mate.
So what? Oh, really? Well, you don't have to wear it on your head, you know. I mean, it's... Just, I've been to a sale at the Railway Lost Property Office.
Don't forget me mush, you bought me and all.
What?
I was knocked down for a quid.
I'll knock you down for five bob.
I'd knock you down for the fun of it. I never bought you, missus.
You did, because here's your receipt.
I only bid for an ugly old Welsh dresser.
You got me and all, boyo.
All right, off you go. See you at the High Stedford. And you, missus, here's a quid and a left-handed trifle. Go and get yourself lost again. Right, now it's time we started writing the show. You see, what I really need is a suitable vehicle for my talents.
How about a dust cart?
That's it. And we could have everyone in the cast singing songs from her and O Calcutta. You know, all those topless dancing girls.
Ooh, aye. Topless?
Yes.
Ooh, aye. I've always fancied a bald-headed woman. Situation comedy, that would suit you, Ken Bach.
Situation?
Yes, situation comedy, where you can do a bit of acting, so you get your teeth into it.
Yeah,
sorry, boyo.
Why?
Aye, what with you having funny teeth like? No, I'll tell you what now then.
Very good.
Yes.
Get off.
Situation, see? You're in this nudist camp,
yes.
Completely in the nude.
Why?
Aye, and you call yourself the cheeky chappy. Ha ha! Yes, and then along comes this big dog with a cold, wet nose.
No! No! Magic. Magic, magic. That's our subject tonight, folks. Superstition and the supernatural. Soothsayers. Sorcerers won't drink out of cups. Did you know that? Oh, geez. What are those gnarled old crones who ride about on their broomsticks with their long, curved noses touching their chins? Of course, these days they call them mother-in-laws. My little Uncle Willie, he's a great believer in lucky charms. He's had this rabbit's foot since 1943. Makes him walk very funny, but there you are. We've got a ghost that walks at midnight. Well, he has to. The last bus goes at 11. Tonight we should be asking ourselves serious questions like, if paper cups cost £2 a thousand, why do bras cost 85 pence each? Thank you. Gentlemen, are you dogged by bad luck? Has the magic gone out of your life? Do you wish for a fresh start? Then visit Naughty Ash's famous Ye Olde Wishing Well and chuck the wife down it. They say that a wishbone is lucky. Didn't bring the chicken any luck, did it? Did you know that St. Christopher would never travel anywhere unless he had a motorist dangling from his dashboard? Some people believe in omens and portents. What about this fella, this man? He lived at number 8. He worked at Whipsnade Zoo all his life, the figure 8. He was the 8th son. He married an 8th daughter. They lived at number 8, and 8 minutes to 8, he caught an 88 bus. He got off at the 8th stop, and he was the 8th bloke into work. And he was cleaning out his 8th cage, and a lion ate him. Magic. And we've got a magic audience in here tonight. Every person in the audience today, in our show, folks, is a clairvoyant. Because they knew it was going to be a good show. That they knew that I was on. That they knew that we would finish on time. Now they're all going. They know when they've had enough. I'll meet the audience. I'll have a word with this little nipper in his nice new nappy on the front row. Scoobly-da-do, scoobly-dee-dee, scoobly-da-do.
Scoobly-da-do yourself.
Well, I was only trying to make small talk.
I'm on your own business.
Yes, well, I'm sorry. Well, I know babies aren't stupid. I mean, do you like magic?
Oh, hocus pocus, simsalabim, golly, golly, golly. Now you see it, now you don't.
Now we see it, now we don't. Oh, I see what you mean, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's usually very lucky to press a silver coin into the hand of a newborn baby, so let's see what I can do, and because I need a bit of luck. Now, here, little chap, just touch this 50p piece.
No,
I said touch it. No, let go. That's me fair home. Let go, you little perisher.
Yeah, I get lost.
I know. Magic, myth and superstition. What is Danny LaRue, man or myth? I mean, do ghosts stay in their old haunts? And when ghosts have a dance, do they call it a haunt ball? And is that somewhere where you take a ghoul friend? What do people think of magic? I know. I'll pop out for a spell and ask them. Ah, now here comes a man from the mysterious east of Bradford. Ding, ding, zing. Mr. Singh, do you believe in things you don't understand?
Oh, yes, my goodness gracious me, yes. I am believing emphatically in the bus company rules, but I am not understanding them.
Why not?
Well, I see the notice, dogs must be carried.
Yes.
And every day people get on my bus that are not carrying doggies.
That makes sense, yes.
Thank you very much.
I'm here stored outside the famous headquarters of the Magic Circle. This is where young magicians come to show off their new tricks. And senior magicians come to get up to their old tricks. Oh, here come two very elegant men now. Excuse me, sirs, are you both merry magicians?
Oh, no, just me. Gavin is my glamorous assistant, aren't you, Gavin?
Yes.
Being a magician has its drawbacks, of course. It's ridiculous the way things keep falling out of my ear. A hiccup yesterday and 3 ping-pong balls popped out, didn't they, Gavin?
Yes.
Yesterday, Gavin sneezed and out came the flags of all nations. I don't know who was more surprised. You, Gavin?
Yes, no.
How does one become a member of the Magic Circle? I mean, is there a trick to it? I'll tell you what, let's go over for the auditions to the roundhouse.
Yes, yes. Now then, I'm a very original fire eater.
How original?
I eat electric fires.
I can juggle 58 glasses in one whilst walking blindfold along a tightrope.
That's nothing.
But I'm only the tea lady here.
Ah, now here's a mysterious little old lady wandering towards me. Hello, Winnie. Have you had any magic moments in your life, love?
Oh, sir.
Yes.
I was an illusionist's assistant.
Assistant?
He used to saw me in half.
In half?
Half. He sent me away to pull myself together.
Where did you go?
I went to Blackpool.
Blackpool?
And Brighton.
And Eh?
One half doesn't know how the other half lives.
You can say that again.
One half doesn't know how the other...
Off she goes, wavering goodbye. Lots of us. Lots of us, folks. You and me and everyone, lots of us, have special powers, unusual gifts, talents we're proud of. But we don't go around telling everyone.
You right there, Ken. I got one.
Yes?
I'm a dowser.
Oh.
I'm rather good at dowsing.
Are you? Dowsing? What is this thingy, dowsing?
Well, usually after dinner, when I've had 4 or 5 points, I'm ready for a little douse.
Yes. Well, you would be. It's nature's way, isn't it?
It is. I go down to my shed for my little twiddler, Hazel.
You what? For your little what?
A little twiddler.
Oh, your little twiddler?
Hazel. I twiddle anywhere it takes me fancy. I could do it here in the studio.
You won't. I don't.
Permission?
Oh.
Got permission to douse or divine for water by the BBC.
You mean you've got divine rights?
Okay, you are funny. Sometimes. Now stand back. Stand back and watch me find the nearest bit of water.
Right.
Oh, look, it's twiddling.
I can't look. It's pointing straight at my legs.
Well, all I can say is you must have water on the knee.
Water on the knee?
Yes. There's only one sure cure for that, boyo.
What's that?
A tap on the ankle.
Today is the anniversary of the famous mountaineer Cliffhanger, who fell to his death from the summit of Mount Nangifufu after planting the national flagpole through his foot.
Ah! And here is a searching question.
Where is it? Quick!
What's new? Your radio guide to the trends of today. This week, automatic vending machines.
Did you know that you can get fully metric cadmium-plated ball cocks from a new vending machine on King's Cross Station?
Give us the facts, man. That's it. Ball cocks, give us the facts.
And did you know that each ball cock is complete with flanged bushes and an engine turn cut-off devices, lovingly created by ancient Himalayan craftsmen? What's more, each ball cock bears the signature of the Dalai Lama.
I can hardly wait to get my hands on one, boyo. How much are they?
Only £7.71. The machine takes 2 new pence pieces only.
Ooh.
Good news for midnight shed builders.
I often wake up in the middle of the night with the urge to build a shed.
Don't we all? A new all-night shed vending machine has recently been placed into service on the promenade of Brighton. The machine delivers sheets of hardboard 6 foot by 3, complete with tongue and groove gussets. Every fourth customer also receives a free cold steak and kidney pudding.
How lucky can you get?
Now, here is the latest classified roundup of vending machines. Good working ferrets can be obtained day or night from a vending machine in the town hall at Barnsley. Ginger wigs and bowsers, complete with hand-engraved braces, are now on sale outside the Mechanics Institute at Wigan. Price 10 new pence, which also includes a photograph of the president of the Milk Marketing Board clobbering Margaret Thatcher. And finally, a major breakthrough. Oh, dear. Sorry, sir.
And now, folks, the Brown Ale Book of Records. 479 beer-stained pages of foolish feats and frivolous facts. Let's open and drink in the daft data.
Did you know that the people of Malta, the Maltesers, don't make love? They just shake hands, which, as any woman knows, is 7 times less fattening.
Did you know that the Bee's Nose was owned by Mrs. Hooterberry, who, when phoned by her husband to say he would be working late in the office 10 miles away, could smell a rat?
Did you know that the record for the most hiccups was held by a Lancashire man named Billy Pickles? He started in 1962, and the curious part is that every time he hiccups, he hops 2 feet. He's the only man living who's been around the world 6 times and can say pardon in 85 languages.
Did you know that more than 100 road sweepers are drowned every year in Venice?
And did you know that if all bakers in England went on strike, we could be weeks without crumpet? Ciao!
Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. To me, this world is... is a wonderful place. I'm the luckiest human in the human race. I've got no silver and I've got no gold, but I've got happiness in my soul. Happiness to me is an ocean tide, a sunset fading on a mountainside, a big old heaven full of stars above, when I'm in the arms of the one I love. Oh, happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. Happiness is a field of grain, turning its face to the falling rain. I see it in the sunshine, breathe it in the air. Happiness, happiness everywhere. A wise old man told me one time, happiness is a frame of mind. When you go to measuring a man's success, don't count money, count happiness. Oh, happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. Oh, happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. I got more than my share of happiness.
And now, over to the College of Knowledge at Naughty Ash University, where that prodigious prestidigitator, Professor Rufus Chakrabarty, is demonstrating that the quickness of the hand deceiveth the eye.
So, magic, magic students, that is the subject we are going to conjure with today. Roger Bacon was a magic physician. He used to cure people with lumbago. They used to call him Buck Bacon. And any questions?
Professor?
Yes, I can.
Can you read minds, eh?
Professor, yes? Professor, don't you have any dreams, Professor?
Well, yes, last night I dreamt I was a wrestler and I had Raquel Welsh in the Japanese stranglehold.
Oh, marvellous, man. I'll bet you're looking forward to tonight.
Well, not really, no. I meet Mrs. Mills in the finals.
Oh, happy.
Professor?
Yes?
Professor, my house is haunted. Oh. What can I do about it?
Well, buy a pair of chest expanders, a set of barbells and a rowing machine and leave them in the haunted room.
Well, what good will that do?
It'll exorcise the ghost. Next question.
Oh, Professor, is it dangerous to lie on a bed of nails?
Well, not unless you turn over in your sleep. Oh. Otherwise, Ding Ding.
Professor, I got a question. Every full moon, my husband's teeth grow long.
Yes.
And his face becomes covered in hair.
Yes.
And he howls all through the night. Now, what should I do?
Enter him for Crufts.
Oh. Hey, Professor, what about the black arts? Witches and warlocks?
Pardon?
Witches and warlocks.
Oh, I see, the black arts. Well, I joined a coven of witches, wizards, and that other word, about a year ago. I attended all their orgies, dancing round naked in a night watchman's huts and yodeling mysterious threats of the leg of sailors' trousers. It all seemed harmless at the time, and then depravity set in. We began shouting rubbish at dustmen and hello vicar at black tomcats with white throats. And as a male witch myself, people come to me for magic potions, which I make up from crushed navvy socks and parboiled serge policeman's trousers. They sprinkle it all over themselves.
But does this keep away the evil spirits?
It keeps away everything.
Oh.
Last Monday morning, I thought I'd like to see the treasures of Tutankhamun. You know, Tutankhamun. So by Friday afternoon, I was at the front of the queue, and then, a couple of minutes later, I was inside the British Museum. And there I was, standing, looking at young King Tut's actual relics.
What?
Features.
Achavi!
I was looking at the face of Tutankhamun. I thought, by Jove, he must have had good weather on his holidays. No, I mean, he looked so regal and lifelike. He looked as though he could speak to me.
Young man, a word if I may.
Oh, I turned to see this strange figure standing in the gloom behind me. He spooked again.
Ah, those fangs, that face.
Fangs?
Oh, yes, fangs and that face. How would you like to earn some really big money, foolish fellow? Kiss me, Tovarich.
I don't want to kiss you, Tovarich, no. How do you mean big money, Gaffer? You mean more than 15 quid a week?
I am Zechariah Weirdberger, owner and founder of the Sledgehammer Horror Film Company.
Yes?
We are always looking for new blood.
Sledgehammer Films. I gave him my agent's address. He melted away into the shadows. The very next Friday, I went to see my theatrical representative to give him the 10% of my dole money, as usual.
Kent, boy, where have you been all morning already? Why do you give me these headaches?
Already? Well, I've been on the paper round already.
Never
let you fix
mind
me
mind now. Is that my cut of the state pension?
Yes, it is.
Thanks. Nobody else could have done what I've done for you, boy.
How do you mean, Dave?
Listen, I've been in contact with none other than the boss of Sledgehammer Films already. Yeah. Zechariah Weirdberger.
Yeah?
You won't know him, of course.
Well, as a matter of...
I talked him into giving you a chance, my life.
Yeah.
Don't let me down. It's good money.
Yes.
Less mine, of course.
Of course, Dave.
Good director.
Yes.
Ken Whistle, no less.
Ken Whistle?
Mm, you start tonight.
Yeah.
It's just one thing before you go, Ken.
What's that, Dave?
Knock the ash off the end of my cigar, would you, son? You're the nearest.
Oh, okay. So as I left my agent's office and I walked past his 14 secretaries, I looked at this parchment he'd thrust in my hand. It was a contract. It was written in blood. Nearly all my contracts are. And on it was the instructions to the place I had to go. It was a place called Morbid Manor. Now the head office of Sledgehammer Horror Films. Ooh. A large, creeper-covered house. I rang the bell. The door opened. And there, Ken Rissell, the producer, stood before me.
Ken, baby, you've come ready for the part. Fantastic.
Yes, Mr.
Rissell. Those teeth, that mottled, lumpy complexion. Great makeup job.
I'm not wearing makeup.
Oh, good, saves expense. This is Count Dracula.
Count Dracula? This wizened little Celt? He's no Count Dracula, he's a phony.
What? What? Ach, Javi, I'm the real Count Dracula, all right. Yeah? Give us a quick flash of your neck, I'll show you. Aye, I haven't had a nibble for weeks. My entire family are bats.
Oh, well, I can believe that. You go and drink your soup before it clots.
Yes. Now then, and this is my daughter, Grisalina.
Grisalina?
I call her my daughter, yes, but she's more of a blood relation.
You should never laugh at your own jokes. Grisalina, this lady with the white face and funny teeth.
Do you fancy a necking session later on?
No, no. She was the sort of girl you dream about when you've had cheese. More dark eye shadow than Dusty Springfield. Longer fingernails than Eartha Kitt. And teeth like Bernie Winters' top set and Billy Dainty's bottom. Set. My room for the night, my room to spend the night in, was a garret. I slept in an old four-poster bed. It was so old, one of the posters showed Harold Wilson as a boy soprano. Unable to sleep, I lay there, terrified, trembling between the sheets. Something cold and clammy touched my left leg. It was my right leg. I think. In the stuttering light of the guttering candle, the room became alive with supernatural dancing shadows, and the queer little candle went out with a puff. It was the longest night of my life. Oh, dear. I lay there, trembling in the dreadful darkness. I became aware of a rustling and shuffling outside my door. The door was flung open with a bang, and there, standing before me, was a white, glowing skeleton. It raised a bony arm and spoke.
Where's me shirt? Me shirt.
After breakfast, Ken Rissell took me to the film set. It was made up to look like a vast laboratory. Zechariah Weirdberger, the boss, he was playing the part of the mad doctor in the film himself.
Welcome to my laboratory, my foolish fellow. Kiss me, Tovarich.
I wish you wouldn't keep doing that, you know. It was full of strange and gruesome items.
This is my latest invention.
Yes?
A time machine.
It looks like a pair of roller skates to me.
Oh, foolish fellow. Skate backwards and you go into the piast.
I'll say one thing for you.
Yes?
You crackers. It was almost as though he believed what he was saying. I began to skate backwards, and the room became misty. And when the mist cleared, I found myself on a windswept moorland. Or in the words of Mr. Wilson, a blasted heath. Three hags, three witches, sat round a cauldron.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder,
lightning,
or in rain? Sister, we have a visitor, MacDodd.
I don't think I'll bother with a bed and breakfast.
All hail MacDodd.
MacDodd, MacDodd, hail.
I think you might get a bit of rain. I don't think hail. Mind you, I haven't had a look at me seaweed lately.
Newt's eye, a bat's wing.
Cat's whisker, a mouse.
A louse. Will you sup with us, MacDodd?
What, from that evil brew you've been stuffing in that cauldron? What are you dropping those herbs and creepy crawly things in it? What is it?
It's a consignment of tea for British Rail.
I got on my skates again, and back through time I went, back to Egypt, ancient Egypt, land of the fairy pharaohs. Shut that door. I'll just pop into this funny pointed building for a minute. Well, Ijo, what does the notice say? Tutankhamun's treasure house. Oh, go and have a look at this. Ijo, it's dark in here. Oh, no! Hey! Oh, no! I'm trapped! I'll be here for thousands of years!
Come along, move along the sarcophagus, if you don't mind.
Hey, who are you?
A lot of other people want to view His Majesty's relics. You've been staring in here for the last 10 minutes.
I'm back in the British Museum! Good gracious me, it was all a dream. There's old King Tut lying there, so regal and lifelike.
Oh, foolish fellow. A word, if I may.
That's how it all started. No, tatty bye, everybody. Yes. Tatty bye. Tatty bye.
You have just been listening to half an hour of Hocus and Pocus with the amazing Doddy. Among those prestidigitating were Telfran Thomas, who pulled the rabbit out of his carrot-colored jockey shorts, and Hugh Paddick, who was the man who disappeared into his top hat, pulling a bunny girl in after him. A thrilling effect was provided by Joe Manning Wilson, performing the Indian rope trick in her miniskirt, assisted by the Maharishi John Graham. And the lady levitating on a leaning lamppost was Miriam Margolyes. This performing wrong society was devised by Ken Dodd, and additional unlikely items were materialized by Malcolm Cameron, Stuart Campbell, Norman Beadle, Peter Tonkinson, and John Pye. Squaring the magic circle with a three-sided triangle was our producer, Bobby Houdini. Done it, Jay!